Oh, great. Isn't it great? Oh, my goodness. You know, this this whole month we're going to be focusing what a Savior we have. On, oh, what a Savior we have. You know, as we grow older, I see some other great gray hairs here this morning. And as you get older, the older you get, the more, I don't know, the more it just gets bigger and bigger and better and better. You know what I'm talking about. It's just joyous. If you don't quit, if you don't get discouraged and quit, it just gets better and better. You know, I'm more excited now than I've ever been about, you know, what God can do in the midst of, you know, situations. And so we're going to focus on that all month until Easter Sunday, which is the beginning of my spiritual year, my favorite holiday. I had an awakening many years ago and during Easter week where, you know, I just had this revelation of Jesus. I wasn't a believer, really a believer at the time, but I had this revelation of Christ when somebody invited me to a church, you know, and I kind of felt the presence of God, and it was a journey to get saved on that journey. So we're all on this wonderful journey together. And I want to start this morning in the book of Genesis in the very beginning. In the very beginning, I'm a New Testament preacher, but this story, like all the stories, point to Christ. They all point to Christ. It's just wonderful in the book of Genesis how way back then God reveals himself as a Savior, of mankind. We're going to go to, you know, the story of Noah, which is a huge story. It's a huge story. I like last week how Jeff brought in all those families, you know, the families of God. You know, I love that, how he brought up the families. Some weren't so good, so it made us feel better, you know, about our own families that sometimes aren't so good, you know. And that's what the Bible does. We bring those stories, good and bad, together, and it points towards our life right now. You know, we can use those stories. And this is a big, big story. I'm telling you. Hollywood's tried to do this story, and a poor job of it, you know, because it's too big. It's really big. And you know the situation. You know the whole situation. You might be familiar with it. The world is filled with violence and, you know, confusion, chaos. This isn't the first time, folks. You know what I mean? And it was filled. But here in verse 8, it says, "But Noah." I love the buts in the Bible. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Oh, I love this. You know what Noah's name means? Rest. Rest. And trust. Trust found grace. Wow. You know, you're not going to find grace through frustration, anger, judgment, criticism, fear. You're not going to find grace, because you're only going to find grace in God's pouring out his grace. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. You know, in this hour, sin will never overtake grace, never. Grace is there around every corner, and you're carrying it if you have a revelation of it. You know, trust and rest find grace. So you need to get in that place of absolute trust and rest in the Lord. I do it every morning, you know, get myself in that position. Meditate on a scripture like this, you know, it's my practice. You need to have a practice. If your practice is going on and turning on the news, you know, I don't know if you're going to find grace. Because it's just not the vehicle to help you have that warm, fuzzy feeling, you know, about humanity. it just doesn't produce that kind of thing. And I want to have grace. I want to love people like God loves people, all people. I want to love God like he does. That's my calling is love. My calling is to love at a greater level than I've ever loved before. I finally find my calling after all these years, you know, it's to love. I don't know, it was always there, but it gets mixed up, you know. A lot of us think that our calling is to judge, to criticize, you know, and to set things right. I'm going to adjust this thing. I'm going to give this guy a tune-up. You know what I mean? And really, it's to pour out his grace on people, to move in the opposite spirit of what they're moving in. Wow, that's tough. That takes some preparation sometimes. So Noah, rest, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amidst what? All this chaos. Verse 11, it says the earth was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. Lord, people, we are swimming in a sea of violence. Do you know that? The last couple weeks. We don't know what's coming ever, what's coming next week. And every week I get up here, it seems like, you know, I only get up here once a month, but it seems like we've been through so much. We've been through so many things personally. You know, we have the simple things like, you know, the dryer thing that I went through. And then we have the car thing like Doug went through, you know, totaling his car, you know, that's a tough thing. And then we have the, you know, the personal things, the sickness things, and the family things. And then we have the nation things and the community things and all these things, you know, that seem chaotic. And God wants to make a way of escape. See, God wants us to get into a place where we can ride out the storm, doesn't he? He wants us to ride out that storm because the storms are coming. How many got hit with that snowstorm? When was it, Thursday? Oh my gosh, people are still out of power. We never saw that one really coming, you know? You don't get that on the British Isles, do you? Heavy, wet snow and wind, which brings down all the power lines and the trees and, you know, thousands of people, even on the coast there, they had a nor'easter that, I mean, storms are coming. Oh, believe me. And we get blindsided, don't we? We never see it coming. You know, I didn't see that dryer thing coming. The dryer was going to break again, you know. And it threw me, oh, no, you know. I mean, you just have to, and that's minor. I know it's minor, but when it happens, it's sort of big to you. You know, even kids in school, you know, what happens? You know, you fail a test or you know, nobody wants to sit with you at the, you know, at lunch, you know. These are storms. These are difficult things that you need a savior. You need someone to come alongside and help you. The Holy Spirit, you know, the one that comes alongside and helps. Oh, use him. He wants to be used. He wants to be helped. The thing that bothers me, my kids, they try to do it on their own. And they got the information, but they try to do it on their own. And then they get weary and tired. And finally they said, I think I'll pray. You know, pray in advance. Pray every day. Be prepared. So it says the earth was filled with violence. So we're living in the midst of all this sea of violence. And like we've never really seen before. And in verse 14 it says, God sees Noah and he says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and out with pitch. Now the word for pitch is gopher. You know, the Bible combines some thoughts and words sometimes. It's the Hebrew root, kopher, K-O-P-H-E-R. And you know what it means? Covering or atonement. See, he's pointing toward the new covenant. That's what it means. It means covering or atonement, you know, and it becomes a type of the cross. The wood, the pitch, the blood of Jesus, it already is foretelling of what's to come, of God making a way where there is no way, of blood, which we enter into. We enter into this because he calls him to enter into this. And just because his name means rest doesn't mean he doesn't work, okay? If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening all over this land. Can we do that next week, Doug? I'd hammer out danger. You didn't know I could sing this, could you? I'd hammer. Warning. Yeah. I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters. Oh, you get the idea. Maybe you got too much of an idea. But yeah, so there we are, you know, where he's making a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. and this is how you shall make it. I don't think he ever saw an ark before or even a boat. So he's trusting. I mean, it says it never rained. The earth was watered by mist at that time. So it says that he didn't have an image of this. And that's what we're building here, folks. We have no idea what this is supposed to look like, you know, in this hour. In this hour, I don't think we can just take a model from somebody else and say, this is what it's supposed to look like. You know, we're supposed to hear from God, and he's showing us how to build this place, all right? He's showing us how to build this place. And we have to be in a place to hear from him for that, because he's given the dimensions right here. He says it shall make it, and the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, which is 500 feet long. See, somebody did this in Kentucky or Tennessee quite recently. Did you hear about that, Josh? He built a replica of an ark, and it's a theme park. Wow. This story has impressed people for many years, I'm telling you. And this guy was so impressed that he built a 500-long ark, 500 foot long. Now, I don't know how long the sanctuary is, but it's more than a football. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. It's 500 feet tall. Okay. I wrote it down. It's more than a football field and a half long. Okay. And the width is 95 feet. Something like that. Don't quote me on these measurements, okay? I could be messing this all up, all right? But it's pretty big, you know? And it costs $50 to get in. You might want to go down there this summer, take the kids, they got the animals, they got the whole thing. But I mean, it's still impressing people to this day. This is such, whether you believe it or not, it's impressing people this day. And God did it so it would impress you. So you would be impressed by how big he is and how much he loves mankind, because Noah and his family represent mankind, to preserve mankind out of the goodness of his heart, you know. So, you know, we can talk about knowing his grace. We can read about knowing his grace. But until we get into a place of trusting him, we won't understand how good he is and his grace is. We'll want to take it into our own hands and do it and not listen to what he's telling us to do. And we could do it wrong. In verse 7, so Noah with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, the family of man, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean animals, Gail, you're going to like this. Of the clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds and everything that creeps on the earth. Oh, she loves animals. She just loves creation. She loves God's animals. So he says, two by two, they went in the ark, male and female, as God commanded. So what does God do? He has man become stewards of creation. See, we're not called to not do anything. And there's stuff going on, you know. I mean, there's stuff even going on today which jeopardizes our planet. And we have a covenant with God, and I'll read that to you, the covenant he gave. But we have our part as stewards of creation. And Gail's well aware of that part of how we should honor and treat creation. How we should love and respect his creation. And she, that's like her ministry. That's her call in her life. And to, in a grace-filled way, to help people realize how precious creation is. God wants us to give that care for his animal kingdom, for his whole animal kingdom, you know. And in verse 17, he says, now the flood was on the earth 40 days. 40 days or 40 nights represents a time of testing. Time of testing. How many feel like they're being tested? Nobody? Oh, I do. I've been tested in many ways in the last year to doubt God. You know my story. You know, many ways, physically, in physical problems to not trust God, you know, to get fearful. And what is? Fear is the enemy of love. Fear, I'm going to sing that. No, fear is the enemy of love. Tommy Castro, he did that song. And, you know, not particularly, we call him particularly a spiritual guy. You know, he's a blues guy. And we went and saw him, Doug and I and Rhonda and my wife. And my gosh, what a prophetic song, you know. God uses people to sing songs in a place where we could never go. It says the flood was on the water 40 days. You know that Israel was in the wilderness 40 years. 40 years. Jesus was in the desert 40 years or 40 days for a time of testing. Yes, keep me on track. 40 days for a time of testing. How do you think you're going to escape testing, you know? And it's all about pride and ego and your own resources. I mean, read it. You might want to read that story. And it says the flood was on the earth 40 days and the waters increased and it lifted. See, he wants to lift you out of all your troubles. Lifted the ark and it rose high above the earth. It rose. God wants us to rise above. He has made a vehicle to rise above all the stuff that's going on, folks, without being fearful, critical, angry, frustrated. And the people who are responding, it was so tragic this week, another young person committed suicide. You know, they don't have that place where they can trust someone that will raise them out of all their fear. But you're the one, young people, you're the ones in school that can give that word of encouragement, that prophetic word of encouragement and uplifting. Uplifting to get them into a place to rise above. Oh, to rise above. I'm not a particularly brave person, okay? I've told you that, you know. I was so afraid of the dark when I was a kid. Oh, my goodness. You know, afraid of everything. Fear was always on me, you know. But when I got saved, when I became a new man in Christ, his strength rose me up, you know. When I went through my surgery, my wife said, I can't believe you're so calm. I couldn't either, you know. But there was a strength there. You know what I'm talking about, Betty? You know, there was a strength there that rose up in that time. It was there for you. And it was the Holy Spirit that raised you up, you know, and caused you to rise above all the frustration, even in this hour. Even in this hour, all these troubles, you know, you can't be hopeless, folks. You got to be filled with hope and love and peace. That's why we come here, to strengthen us, be around people that are strengthening you in that area. Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful. Genesis, let's go back. Oh, we're moving right along here. In Genesis 20, it says, then Noah built an altar. After they go through the whole flood, he comes out. What's the first thing they do? Worship. Hallelujah. We're still doing it today. See, what we're doing here is building an altar of worship. A place where we can praise the Lord. We can worship. We can dance. We can sing. We can shout. It's that place where we built that altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered that burnt offering unto the Lord. We have to have an altar. Your home needs to be an altar of praise and worship. You know, not that you're going to have a worship service, but a place of praising God. Praising God and thanking God around your children. Oh, we just thank God that we have the Lord. We thank God for what we have and who we are. Whew. I mean, if I asked each one of you, could give me a reason why. Johnny, give me a reason why you're praising the Lord. Just give me a reason.
Salvation, life in general.
Yeah, salvation. I know what you've been through. You know, you've been through it too. Oh my gosh. Where you have that place to praise the Lord. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. A sweet aroma. That's where I want my home to be like. When you walk in, you sense the peace. And there's things warring against it, believe me. You know, I mean, believe me, stuff are coming against that peace that passes all understanding. But you have to get yourself in that place spiritually and emotionally. That in, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. That's the peace. That's the peace. That's the trust. See, that's the sweet smelling savor before the Lord. And then the Lord said in his heart, oh, wow. He said, I will never again curse the ground. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, my goodness. I know there's ecological troubles, folks, but we got a promise from God that's bigger than all of it, okay? So I will never curse the ground for man's sake, although his imagination in the man's heart is evil from his youth. So it's not dependent on us. It's a new covenant solely based on his love. No unconditional covenant. This is the first unconditional. It wasn't based on man's performance. It was based on his love. Wow, that's powerful. And it says, nor will I again destroy everything that I have done. Oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. The end is near. The end is near. No, it's not, folks. Don't believe it. It's just begun. It's just begun. God's got plans. God's got big plans. He's got big plans for all of us. Big plans. No hopelessness. Listen to this. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall never cease. That's a covenant he made. Yeah, I know there's global warming, and I'm sure it's true. I'm not in denial. But somehow God's got a plan, folks. It's bigger than all our plans. And we're doing what we can, but he'll do more. If he sees us doing what we can, if he sees us doing what we can, being respectful, it's a sweet-smelling savor before him. I don't say throw it to the winds and just treat the earth like a garbage can, you know. I'm saying respect. It's all about love and respect and honor. But we have a covenant. We have a better covenant with him. And it only gets better and better and better. Better and better. Oh, my goodness. And it's foreshadowing what? The new covenant. This is what this was all written for. And you thought it was just a story. See, but there's a deep revelation in this story of his love. And the bigness of God and his Savior and his plan for mankind. Oh my goodness. You know, he wants us. He needs us. He loves us. And you need to believe that. Even with, it's not, I know your heart's desperately wicked. But I mean, it's not based on that. It's not based on that. Now, I didn't write this down, but I saw this morning. I didn't get the time to send this around. Look it over. There's so many places in the Bible that he refers to Noah. One of them is Jesus refers to Noah in Matthew 24. The other place is Hebrews 11, where he talks about Noah. This story continues for our, But the other place is Isaiah 54. I just want to read this. It was so good, I couldn't pass over it. And we have time. Isaiah 54. It says, in verse 8, it says, with a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. And, you know, we talk about God's timing. You know, God's time is not like our time. His time, you know, a moment can be such a long time for us. You know, 40 days, 40 years. But it's a moment to God. It says, but with ever, get that first word, with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you. Whew. It just makes me want to melt into the carpet. With everlasting kindness. Wow, that's the message that people need to hear. The goodness, the kindness of God. Oh, that's who he is. With everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, who? Your Savior. your Redeemer. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, all month we get to lift up Jesus and God's plan for us, for humanity. It says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth. So I have sworn that I would not be angry. Oh, some people think they're serving an angry God. We got to set them straight. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Taking us all this time, you know, of control and manipulation, you know, through hell, fire, and brimstone preaching to try to manipulate people into loving God. And it was all there right now. They love him because he first loved us. Oh, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You can look up to God. You can gaze upon God and know that he's gazing on you. You can smile at God and know he's smiling at you. Whew. Lift your head. Lift your head, because that's where your help comes from. Oh, if only young people knew that. If only people out there, they feel hopeless and helpless and desperate and frustrated. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills will be removed, but my kindness. I mean, he's exaggerating here. You know, so your whole world looks like it's coming down around you, okay? How many have been in that place? Thank you for your honesty. It's all about me. I was in that place, man. Last year. Oh, my goodness. Diagnosis, cancer, you know. Whoa, me? Whew. Oh, my goodness. Wow. How? Hey, would you guys pray for me? On Monday, I'm having a full body scan, okay? Full body scan, first one I've had in a year. Had the other scan, and then the oncologist on Tuesday, you know. And I know I'm healed. Amen. Amen. I know I'm healed. Praise God. You know? But, oh, yeah, what tries to creep in there, you know? Fear is the enemy. You sing in tongue now. What tries to creep in there and erode your confidence and your hope and your love and all those things? Whew, fear. It says, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace, whew, peace that passes all understanding, be removed. Oh, what a Savior, says the Lord, who has mercy upon all of us. On all of us. Wow, that's so good, man. We could end right there, couldn't we? We really could, but it's too early. Wow, let that soak in. If you need to read that this week, you know, read that this week. It's Isaiah 54, 9 through 10. And somebody might need that, because I think someone's confidence is being eroded. I felt that for weeks. Last week, someone's confidence in God is being eroded. And if that's you, this message is for you, because it's not what you do, it's in what he's already done. You know, I got to say that to Josh, you know, and he said he needed it. Thank God I heard the Lord, you know. But I'm sure I could talk to many and say, because it's that time where confidence is being eroded in government, in leadership. And if it's happening there, it's happening across the board, in headship of homes, a spirit of strife. You know, have you been arguing more at home? That kind of thing, that stripe. I mean, it's kind of a spirit that's released, you know. And you have to have confidence in God's bigger. Say it with me. God's bigger. God's bigger. And he gives us a big story, doesn't he? He gives us a big boat. A big picture. He's given us the big picture. And he wants to, this, I don't know, how long, what was that? Between Noah and us. How long? I mean, somebody's got to know that. Somebody's a theologian in this room. You know? Somebody. help us out, you know. I mean, it's got to be thousands, hundreds. Yeah, it's a long time. Okay. But the story remains. If Hollywood is still making movies about it, and they tried last year to do it, messed it all up. Oh, anybody see that one? Woo! It didn't win any Academy Awards, that's for sure, you know. Just messed it all up, came off the story. Oh, my gosh. All right, so let's go to Hebrews 11. Oh, I love Hebrews 11. Oh, you found it. I love technology. Look at that. Well, let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. If you brought your Bible, it's really easy. You just turn it. Hebrews 11, verse 6. You know, this is the history or the heroes of faith. How many know that? Heroes of faith. All the people that showed God, you know, their faith. In verse 6, it says, but without faith. Without faith, that's why we talk about faith in God. I am a believer, so I believe. Do you believe that? Yes, I'm a believer. Okay, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't care. I'm still a believer. You know, that's what a, you know, believer. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we try to please God through a lot of different ways, performance things, because that's how the culture is, through prayer, you know, long praying, which is fine. Some people are really called to that. God bless them and thank you very much, you know. But somehow you have to get down to faith, you know, no matter how much you pray. And if you never prayed again, he still loves you. Wow. Oh, my. You know, I better not say that. I was going to say if you never went to church again. But I want you to come to church, you know. He still loves you. It's not about performance, about his love. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, okay? He's going to reward your trusting him. He wants to bring rewards to you. Whoever comes to him must believe that he is, then that he is a rewarder, what? Of those that diligently seek him. Whew. He loves your questions. He just loves being with you. He's waiting for you to ask him things. And, you know, what about that, God? What about that? I don't get that. Why did that happen, you know? He wants you to be with him and talk to him. It says by faith, so that's a key. Noah, there it is. Noah being divinely warned. Rest brings revelation. Whew. Rest. Brings revelation. Oh, I love it. Take a pad with you. Take paper and pencil. I mean, and you know, is all you have to do. The little thing, you know, is all you have to do is just say, he is a rewarder. And just sit and wait. He's going to reward me for this time, you know, that I'm waiting on him. It's so wonderful. It's such a wonderful exchange, time spent. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned, divinely warned of things not yet seen. We have no idea what's coming. We don't have a clue what's coming. We didn't see anything that was coming last week, the shootings, all these things. We didn't have a clue that was coming. It says, but he saw these things and he was moved with godly fear. Or I wrote it down, godly fear. Cautious reverence. It's not terror, okay? It's not terror. It's cautious reverence. So you have to walk circumspectly. You have to be cautious. You know, I tell my girls, be streetwise. Watch your back. Watch when you get out of the car, you know. We do our part. God does his part. So even in this hour, we have to be cautiously optimistic. Okay? Cautiously optimistic. And we have to just be trust in Him. Fear is the enemy of love. So we have to have godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of His household. Oh, what a Savior. He wanted to save you and your family. So He made a way by which He condemned the world and become heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Whew. How many are trusting God this morning? All of you. How wonderful. Wow. Some are trusting you. I'm trusting God for a good report. You know, trust in God. But I had a friend pray with me to encourage me in that. So if you're trusting God and you need prayer to someone encouraging you and standing with you, that's the key. That's a key to stand in faith together. Stand in faith together. Whew. So I have the last group of scriptures, okay? Are you ready? All right. Verse 12. Therefore, we are also... No, this is chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Wow. That's us. That's us. We're surrounded. Oh, I love to be surrounded with people who love me. I love to be surrounded by people of faith. You know? You know, when I was a drunk... Oh, that's another story. But I used to go into a bar, you know, and I was surrounded by negativity. And my old lady, you know, that president, you know, surrounded by negativity and alcohol and, oh my gosh, horrible. You need a company, that's what church is, a people who you could be surrounded with encouragement and love. Oh my, and faith on a weekly basis. I don't know how people quit. I don't know how they do without it. I needed it more this year than I needed my whole Christian walk. I needed it more, you know. I was the encourager all those years. Finally, it came to me. I needed it. I was scared. Whew. Oh my goodness, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Oh, when we say the word cloud in the Bible means people. That's what it means. Jesus coming in the clouds. I think He's coming with in a people. You know, I'm not a theologian. I'm a mystic. So, you know, I can have all kinds of liberty, you know. Because I won't argue theology with anybody, you know, pre-trip, post-trip, mid-trip, you know, all that stuff, you know. He's coming. He's coming with His people, for His people. He's, you know, how much more? Oh, my goodness. It's so wonderful. It says, He's surrounded by a great cloud of witness. Let us, all of us, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Oh my goodness. I mean, the media just wants you to quit and make accusation. You know the word accuser means Satan? Whew. When I see too much accusation, it seems satanic to me. When all there is accusation, accusation, accusation. I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I mean, we got to be in that place of encouragement. Blessing, not cursing. We have to be in that place and stay in that place. It's an active verb. Right here it says, let us run. Whew. Let us run. Now this is when I run across, you know, around the room and everything. But I'm too tired. Let us run. We're running a race, folks, okay? And really, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You've heard that. Been running it. Oh, you know, I could cry. Just been running it with Doug and Rhonda for years. Just running it with them. Whew. I've been an encouragement to them. They've been an encouragement to me. So all these witnesses. Oh, you got to have friends like that. I mean, you have to have friends that, you know, are 20 or more years that you're going to run together. You're going to run together in this thing, you know, come or high water, you know, high water, Noah, the ark. Let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before. It ain't over yet. You know, it ain't over. You know, there's more to come. The best is yet to come. They always say, I've been prophesied that so many times. You know, the guy comes up to you and goes, brother, the best is yet to come. Okay, I believe it. Brother, the best is yet to come for you. Okay. I mean it, Josh. I mean, gosh, you're so young. You know? Got a great t-shirt. You know what I mean? Got it all going on. The best is yet to come. Oh, my goodness. The best is a little harder for us to believe it, isn't it? You know, the best is yet to come, brother and sister. You know? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm getting drunk. Oh, this is so much fun, Sandy. Thanks for letting me do it. Looking. Oh, this is the best part. We're going to end with this. Looking unto Jesus. That's what we're going to do all month. All month. Oh, all month. Just looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It is finished. When he said those words on the cross, it is finished. No more striving. Oh, all the songs. No more striving. Just believing. Just resting. Just trusting. Oh, my goodness. I could just snuggle up to the cross, you know? I mean, whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Looking unto Jesus, smiling at God, and know he's smiling down at you. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm going to let out a little secret. For the last couple of weeks, I've been meeting with a couple of Muslims, you know, just to meet them, just to talk to them, just to find out where they're coming from at Starbucks, you know. Oh, and they love Jesus. They think he's a great prophet. And I tell them he's more than a prophet to me. And I'm not trying to convert them. And they're not trying to convert me. I just want to know them without judgment, without criticism. You know, there's 700 sects of Muslims, you know, like Baptist, Presbyterian, you know, thing. And their theme, their motto, whatever, to love all men and do men no harm. And they tell me the Quran's been corrupted, you know, and just the dialogue with them. But I tell them, I said, it's Jesus for me. I said, it'll always be Jesus for me, you know. Oh, looking unto Jesus. I'm secure in that, I'm telling you. Looking, he's more than a prophet, folks, I'll tell you. Ooh, a lot more. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Oh, it was a labor of love. He saw you when he went to that cross. Young people, he saw you and all the stuff that you go through. He saw you. And he said, I'm going to make a way where there is no way. Who the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Whew. Wow. Watch that movie this week that they did such a wonderful job on, you know, about Jesus' life and death on the cross, done by Mel Gibson. Passion of Christ. Oh my gosh. You can hardly watch it. That one they did an amazing job on. It says, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, shameful. It was difficult. How disgraceful. How they treated him. And has sat down at the right hand of God, hand of the throne of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. Ever lives to make intercession for us. Is anybody here this morning really heard that message really for the first time done this way? Anybody? Anybody? I was that person, July 17th, 1979, at 7:35 in the evening in a little church in Hudson, Ohio. and I came off the back wall, standing there, defiant, drunk. And I got the revelation of his love and came forward and said a little prayer, and it changed my life forever. Whew. It still makes me come apart, folks. I'm telling you. Whew. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior you have. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I don't know, you know, what shape you came this morning. If you're discouraged, you have no confidence, God wants to restore your confidence in him. God wants to restore your love for him. God wants to restore the story that has been kind of manipulated through the years. You know, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's not angry with you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your life's been like. He loves you. Wow. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, let's bow our heads. You know, I don't do this often, but does anybody want to raise their hand and say, I really needed that this morning? You know, you're saying that I need to get saved or, you know, but go ahead. Say, I really needed this morning. I want to see the hands that I really needed this morning. Wow. I see those hands. I see those hands. Wow. That's wonderful. Thank you for your honesty. Yes, I see your hand, brother. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just like you saw Noah's heart, you see those hands. You see those hands of people struggling in this hour, in this sea of turmoil and chaos and violence, Lord. So we ask, Lord, that you would restore to them the joy of their salvation, that you would restore their soul, that they wouldn't lose confidence, they would not be discouraged. Lord, let hope arise. Mm-hmm. Let hope arise in their hearts. Oh, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you I pray for all those guys on the back wall, all those guys back there. Lord, I pray that hope would arise in their hearts in such a strong way that they would be able to share it in a way that would save lives. To save lives, to get in places that we could never get into. They have friends that we would never talk to us. I pray for all those guys back there, Lord. We love you, young guys, that they would bring hope where hope is needed. Lord, we just thank you for the power of your love in this hour and the grace to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.